As we've clearly seen, there's been an increase of youths expressing confusion about their gender identity. The reaction to this trend has included schools attempting to deny parents their parental rights, along with a pretty much an express lane to a variety of medical steps and procedures. My next guest is here to present the need to look at what these youths are experiencing as not just a need for a medical step, but also an exploration of their mind and their psyche. He's recently written about this with an op-ed, Transgender Ideology is Harming Vulnerable Patients. You can find this at Real Clearer Health. He's president of Solidarity Health Share. Chris Faddis, how are you today, Chris?
I'm doing well. Thanks for having me.
SolidarityHealthShare.org, and you can find out more about that whole concept. We'll get into that in a bit as well as we go through this conversation. And as I said, your op-ed is entitled Transgender Ideology is Harming Vulnerable Patients. What was it that you wanted to bring to the forefront of people's minds? Because as typically most of us are the outsiders looking at the stories, both in a national scale and even in our local community, as I said, the trend is rising. And we always see the steps being toward the medical. Are we overlooking the emotional side of this whole thing?
Yeah, I mean, I think that's a real issue. And, you know, I represent a lot of faith-based families who are looking for life-affirming healthcare. And I think, you know, we're looking for alternatives to some very manipulative and destructive treatments that are currently being promoted by leading medical organizations and healthcare systems. For various reasons. And so, you know, the real reason was to shed light on, you know, there's very strong evidence, and this op-ed was actually related to a ethics paper that came out by the Catholic Medical Association clarifying what should and should not be the appropriate course of action for treatment for children with gender ideology issues, gender dysphoria, and the like. And the reality is that what we've seen, Chris, is we've seen a lot of the courses of action sort of pushing children towards a direction of puberty blockers and potentially, you know, different life altering, you know, surgeries and all of those kind of things. When the reality is there's a lot of mental health considerations that have to be considered, right? Most of these children are not necessarily suffering from gender dysphoria, but they're actually suffering from other mental health issues. And in many cases, there's lots of evidence showing that a lot of these counselors and, you know, different people are pushing them towards this gender ideology front. And one of the things that came out in this paper, and this is evidence-based, this is looking at a lot of research and a lot of study, that 80 to 90% of children will reconcile with their natural born sex if given time. And that's the reality. And we're pushing children down a path that does not allow that to happen.
The paper that Chris is referring to, it's called The Ideology of Gender Harms Children from the Catholic Medical Association. I'll put a link up to that page on that specific report, because what I learned reading it is a lot of what is being promoted here for medical and even political reasons has been promoted in other countries, which are now not promoting it, which that's been kind of lost in the whole conversation, hasn't it?
Yeah, you know, if we think about, you know, one of the concerns is that a lot of these treatments don't have very much evidence or science behind them. The one thing we do have is the historical context of, you know, Europe has been doing these things for a lot longer, probably 10 or more years, maybe a little longer than that in some places. And even to the point of Great Britain having its own clinic that it was sponsored by its national health system, its own gender ideology clinic that they shut down not too long ago, about a year and a half ago, because of these very concerns, that they saw that children were coming in, were not fully evaluated for gender dysphoria, were kind of led from other things. And here's how it happens. Essentially, you know, you might have a child who's suffering from being alone or feeling out of place or depressed. Maybe they have issues with their family, whatever it is. And what's happening is there's an ideological bent here where people are pushing them towards, well, have you always felt like you're a woman? Do you always feel like you're a man? You know, those kind of questions, and leading them down this path, as opposed to the real numbers of who has gender dysphoria, which is much smaller of the population and, you know, needs to be treated a certain way. And so the reason that these clinics were shut down in Europe is because they saw the evidence that it wasn't working, for one, and two, a lot of these children were being led to this path of puberty blockers and all these life-altering procedures. And so, you know, we need to take heed to that, because if there is any evidence of whether or not this works, it's Europe, because they've been doing it for longer. And so far, you know, Finland, Sweden, France, the United Kingdom, and other countries, I think Denmark's one of them, have stopped all treatments for children under 18 because of these concerns.
So Chris Faddis, who is president of Solidarity Health Share, and also recently authored an op-ed, Transgender Ideology is Harming Vulnerable Patients, SolidarityHealthShare.org, their website, and you are listening to Issues and Ideas. The report, too, also details, again, what the proponents of the fast lane, express lane of this whole concept are ignoring about the health risks of cross-sex hormones, the mutilating surgeries for girls with hysterectomies, removal of the ovaries, girls as young as 14, completely healthy breast removed, and the list goes on from there. It sounds like here in America we're trying to get to the conclusion before we have the exploration, which that really is not what medical science is supposed to be based on.
Exactly, and I think there's a reality here where there's a social contagion element that is at bay. You know, we can't ignore the fact that only 5 or 6 years ago, America watched in amazement as Bruce Jenner became Caitlyn Jenner, and you know we sort of mainstreamed this idea, and at that time, you know, less than 1% of the population would be considered to have ever suffered with or thought about gender, you know, these gender issues or gender dysphoria, and now we have a world in which, you know, we're approaching nearly 20% of young people who have these questions or potential, you know, issues. It doesn't mean that children don't have questions about themselves as their children, but most of them are fleeting. We're turning this into a lifelong issue when a lot of this is not that. It's just, you know, childhood or whatever. And now this social contagion where we're encouraging this is a real concern. So we can't ignore that. We also can't ignore, as you're saying, that if you're going to make these massive decisions for the life of a human being, you have to consider the outcome. You have to consider whether or not this is actually effective. And the reality is, another stat that comes out of Great Britain from their big gender clinic is that when they went to investigate what was wrong and what, you know, whether or not they needed to shut down the clinic, they shut it down early. In fact, they shut it down before they were done with their investigation. And part of the reason, now they've kind of released more of the numbers, over 2/3 of those children had a drastically worse mental health outcome after receiving the puberty blockers and other therapies than they did before they went through that treatment. And so the effect of this, when people try to say this is about life and death, these children are going to kill themselves, they're unhappy, and who they are, all of that, the effect is actually proving to be the opposite. The mental health crisis is not improving, it's actually increasing. And that's something we have to pay attention to. I think the medical community owes that to us, right, to be scientists and to make sure they understand this and to, like, as you said, explore. And so to make these things, you know, again, exploring whether or not we should, you know, let people go down this path of wanting to change their names, all of that, that's a different conversation. But we're talking about drugs that are going to cause bone density issues. They're going to cause lifelong dependence on medication, hormonal issues. Sometimes, you know, there's other diseases that can come from this. I mean, these are not drugs to mess around with, and we're pushing these on children who may or may not actually change their mind in the next few years.
And this is not to say, we have to wrap up here, but this is not to say that sex reassignment is not legitimate in some cases. Maybe the most well-known, along with Caitlyn Jenner, might also be Chaz Bono, and he made that a very public issue as well. And this is also why the report also recommends cognitive-based therapy as part of the entire picture of when a youth is going down this path. About 30 seconds here, and we do have the link up for your website as well. But as far as health sharing, what is the concept all about and the parameters that you work with?
Yeah, I mean, the main thing is that we kind of follow the Judeo-Christian values that many Americans are looking for in their healthcare. And so, you know, our members share each other's medical costs, but we also make sure we're not sharing into things like these procedures we're talking about, and making sure they have access to counselors and therapists and doctors who are going to provide life-affirming, you know, options for their family. So that's our goal, and that's what we're here for. And we welcome people to become a part of our mission.
That's more can be found at SolidarityHealthShare.org. He is their president, Chris Faddis. Chris, thanks for being here and explaining the full picture of what we see in a growing trend. Thanks for being here today.
God bless, Chris. Thank you.